am out of trafficking age. Like, if they trafficked me, it would be to, like, clean their house or something. But
please,
like,
they would traffic you, okay?
Do you think I would be trafficked?
Yes!
I like when my boyfriend is attracted to other women. If he's not, his body's not working.
I mean this from a loving place. You need a therapist.
She's not going to sleep with you. Her boyfriend's allowed to sleep with other girls. She's not allowed to sleep with other men.
Do you want me to keep that in or do you want me to beep
that? No, I like it.
I would f*** with you because you're a dog for that one.
I had no plan for, like, how I was going to get out of this disease. I wanted to die every night because it was hell. I like to blame God sometimes.
Sometimes, like, you don't like to hold the weight of the world by yourself.
It's a joke. Everyone gets so sensitive. And I get it because people don't have identities and they need to identify by what offends them. You know, like,
yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back. Today, we have a very special guest, Nikki Glaser. For those of you guys who don't know who she is, she's an amazing stand-up comedian. But today is not only just about laughs. Today, we dive deep into the heart of this stand-up comedian. I hope you guys enjoy today's episode.
Totally. I want, like, just snatched headphones.
What about, like vibrating headphones? Like, it's kind of like a... Totally, but like for your brain.
Hey man, what's wrong
with
you?
This is going to be a sexual episode, George.
As soon as the mics turn on, this guy turns into you morph.
I could have used vibrating headphones. The other day, my vibrator, like, just stopped working. Like, I plugged it in. And if I don't have a toy, I can't come. Like, it's just, I can't use my hand. I'm not, I don't even know how to do
oh,
that.
Oh, it's these kind of podcasts. Okay.
So I was like, what else do I have in my luggage that vibrates? And I was like, my toothbrush, but like just the handle. I was like, that's too weird. That's just like
Oral
not,
B.
It sounds like a bad stand-up comedy joke. So, but vibrating headphones would have been nice in that.
Can I, just one second.
Yes.
Welcome back to today's show. What a great way to start today's episode. Nikki, I'm going to be blatantly honest and brutally honest.
I don't like that.
Nah. You can handle it. You have tough skin.
You have such white teeth.
Thank you.
They're really good.
I appreciate it. I have
fake?
A girlfriend,
You're
Rex.
Making his life right now because
They're
he was
so
worried about his
perfect.
Teeth.
Perfect. My God.
I don't like how you didn't even care at all that I like was like playing the jealous card. You don't get jealous at all.
What do you mean? What did you say about
She
jealous?
Never gets jealous, ever.
Oh, I thought you said Jaws card. And I was
Every
like,
guy needs a little bit of a jealousy, you know what I mean? Like, I want
well,
my girl to be like, hey,
I
who
wanna
is that?
I want to fuck you because you're white teeth. Yeah, I was just like, I want your teeth. Your teeth. I just, yeah, I wasn't like...
What about my teeth,
But
Nikki?
I get what you're saying. Well, let me see them. Yeah,
they're yellow.
No, they're not too bad.
No?
No, they're not like horrible. His are just like blindingly
super,
white.
Yeah, super, yeah, super white.
I'm going back to my clean cut look. So, like, I had this depressed... anxiety look for a bit.
Yours master sweatshirt. I like it.
Golden.
No,
I'll
my teeth aren't. My teeth are the same. It's not like I can't get them this white.
No, your teeth are very white.
How do you get this?
I just brush my teeth.
No way. You're not doing strips?
No.
Oh.
I strip for my girl once in a while.
Okay. I see what you're doing
there.
Give
one of those smiles.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm interested in the jealous thing. That was such an interesting moment between you two because you want her. She's very secure,
yeah,
and you want, and you're not probably
very insecure.
Mm. So you want her to have a little bit of what you have.
Yeah. I'm,
you're a
every
anxious.
Time she even looks at a guy, I'm like, I'll rip my eyeballs right now. Don't do that. Pull
Stop
my hair
it.
Up.
You're so not. He is so.
No, you're so. You think he's secure?
He's so secure.
Yeah.
Never, ever. Like, he's the one who talks about other guys. He's like, did you see that guy? He's so hot. Did you see him? Look at those abs.
Right.
But isn't that a way just to, like, test you out? Like, see what you're
no,
thinking?
No, because I'll be like, yeah. And he'll be like, what do you mean? He's like, did you look? And I'm like,
I can give you an example. Like, for example, yeah. Nana, her boyfriend, Matthew, that guy's like, God took extra time on him. There's no way.
Really?
There's no way. I get like, she if she doesn't look at him, I'm like, now you're just trying to make me feel better. That makes me feel a little bit insecure.
Yeah, because then you're like, if you're not attracted to him, then what, why are...
Yeah.
Then what standard
what am
I, do I
make a wish date?
Yeah,
what's
totally.
The fuck's happening here, bro?
I always that's what I always say. Like, I like when my boyfriend is attracted to other women because if he's not, his body's not working. Thank you. It's like he has cancer. So like he should go get a scan because like if guys don't get horny for other women, they're not their blood isn't flowing right. Like it doesn't mean he's gonna fuck her. It's just like you should want to though. She's so hot.
I literally had this conversation when we first started dating. I go. And this is not even a joke. I go, when we date, I don't just become gay. It doesn't happen.
No.
Like, so if I see other girls or you see other guys, I find it a little bit more respectful if you're honest. Like, oh, that person's really attractive.
But I'm not going to do anything about it.
Yeah, because then now I'm like, wow, you walked by that dude on set or acting or whatever. You're working with these models and...
It's integrity.
Thank you.
That's what women should celebrate in their men. Not that, oh my, he's not attracted to any other woman. That means there's something wrong with him, right? If he's not attracted to any other woman, that's okay to be attracted, but does he try to fuck them? Does he try to get validation from them? Does he try to flirt? That's where if he doesn't do that, he has integrity. And that's what men really want to be celebrated for in relationships. Like, thank you for not fucking people for me. Like, truly thank you. And I know that's like, oh, that's a bare minimum. You don't want, you can't fuck people. Oh, I'm so sorry. You can't. But it is hard for men to not want to like spread their seed. So like monogamy is not natural. So I do appreciate that my boyfriend doesn't fuck other people, even though he probably has the desire to, because he loves me, and that's integrity.
Is he allowed to, though? Like, if he does, really?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't care. He doesn't do it, but I just don't care. I don't look at sex as, like, I mean, I definitely think sex can be an expression and it can build upon love and create love between two people and is meaningful, but I think sex, when it's just, like, sex, it's, like, if you played tennis with someone or like someone cooked him a meal, like I'm not gonna be like, she cooked you a meal. Like you want to be with her. Like most guys that like get a random blowjob are not gonna like leave their wives for that woman. They're kind of gonna be like, ugh, this is weird. I regret doing this. Like,
is that
I don't...
because you want to be sleeping with other men?
No,
as well?
No, it's not that. It really is like, it's a, I think I like the competition still. I like to feel like I'm always earning something and I'm always like, wow, I got this thing that other women want. I think there's something about that. Like, there's a trophy. Like, he's desirable to other women, so I want verification that it's true. Okay, he slept with someone else. Obviously, this woman is attracted to him. Good. And good luck, lady. Mm-hmm. Trying to, like, you think that you're going to get him forever? Because you probably do. In my mind, I'm like, she wants him. She's going to convince him to be, like, with her forever and leave me. No, you're not. Good luck. You can fuck him maybe better than I can, but, like, not really. Like, because... And if they can, if he wants to leave me for her, then go. I don't know. This is not a thing that he does, but I just recently had a conversation. I was like, I think I need you to like get out there again. And like,
that's the weirdest thing. Being in a relationship and having your girlfriend tell you that is like, that's so weird.
It sounds like that's amazing, but most guys don't want it. Most guys kind of want to be locked in. Even though they say they don't want to.
I mean this from like a loving place.
Okay.
You need a therapist. There's no way that you're okay with your man going and fooling around with another woman.
I really don't care. But
you don't love him then.
Yeah. No, that's not true. The thing is, I don't think of sex as like, it means that he wants, if he were to watch Succession with this girl, fuck no. If he, you know, like there are things that we do that are like intimate.
Are you fucking with me? Or are you just saying this shit?
I just don't think sex is that important. Like, I think it's just a thing a guy needs to do. He just needs to nut and then he gets on with his day. He's not like thinking about her all day. In fact, guys, when they nut, they stop thinking about the girl. They're like, okay, I'm done.
Immediately. But there's something so that I'm find like, don't you feel like the moral aspect of like, I want it, but I won't have it because I have you. And then we could be together in that sexual type of way.
I just, I don't think I'm enough woman for one. I like the idea that he's like you for the rest of my life. I'm like, what? Really?
That's Are you serious? Dude? You're fucking incredible.
You're
stunning. Very sharp
you're hilarious.
And beautiful.
You're smart.
I know all these things, but I don't think any woman is I think men are meant to like have multiple partners, and so are women. And that's another whole argument. But I think men are less likely to let women like branch out and do other things. So I just maybe I'm. I mean, this is pretty much a poly relationship I'm talking about. I think I'm like into that. Like, I just don't. I'm not threatened by it as long as I'm the main one and I get to know about what's going on.
So okay. So like, there's other religions that people like have multiple wives.
No,
you're
way.
Saying you're so
no okay. way because I don't want
to
have
a roller coaster.
No,
man.
No emotional.
I need to just lock this in. So you're saying physical okay, emotional not okay.
Yeah, that's just for me though. I'm sure there's people that are like, oh, he can have an emotional relationship, he can have another girlfriend, I don't care. But I want to be, I think the emotion is more important to me than the sex. The sex kind of turns me on. Like, he went to a strip club recently and I was like, did you talk to anyone? Like, is there a vibe? Like, I wanted to hear all about it. Like, I want to go and just watch in the corner. Not like a cuck, like I'm like, ooh, tied up, like I wish I could fuck him. Like, I want to be in the corner like, yeah, my guy is like fucking getting turned on. That girl kind of wants him. Like, it's like hot to me because I am competitive and I want the best thing. So I want something that's very highly desirable. And I think that's it. I think that's what.
I don't know.
Because there's so many jokes and real. So I'm just going to slip jokes and seriousness.
Okay,
in this.
Get it.
Okay, so first of all, this is going to be a crazy podcast. I already know.
It's nuts.
Freaking, by the way, I'm trying to fix my swing. So freaking, that's going to be crazy.
Okay.
And then second of all, my serious jab is the quality of man is not your best then. Because no man would ever treat you with that integrity.
But I'm asking for it.
It doesn't matter. If she asked me for that, then I would calibrate her brain. and be like, that's
not appropriate. Well, he's not doing it. I will say that my boyfriend's not doing the things that I want.
I mean, he shouldn't. You're an amazing woman. There's a difference from a man looking at another woman lustfully versus acting on that lustful act. Because if I had a woman like you, no disrespect to you, if I had a woman like you, I would, instead of focusing my energy on fucking other girls, I'm focusing my energy on building us a future.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of hot.
Still like, babe, I'm trying to break your walls. I'm trying to build these walls. What do you want, a master bedroom?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's a self-esteem issue, maybe. But
which is crazy because, like, you're killing it.
A competitive nature is a self-esteem issue. Like, I need to be winning. I need something that other girls want. Like, it's not enough that it's just like I want it. I need that car. I need that. I'm not really a materialistic person, but when it comes to people or like relationships, I want something that's, or a job. I want a career that's highly desirable.
It motivates you.
Yeah, but it's a self-esteem issue. I think
double-edged
right.
sword because you have your dreams, right? You are on the biggest stages. You're killing it. You're at a level right now where other female comics are looking up to you, and that you can't get there until you have that competitive nature. But if you notice and you take a glimpse out of all the greats, they're all fucked up. And right. their lives are not worth anything.
No,
fun.
I know.
So
it's so
you have
damaging.
The ability right now. What are you, like 25?
I think he's being
so
serious.
That's so funny. No, you're not. Well, how old are you? I'm 39.
39?
Yeah, that's really sweet. You are a good actor, and that really made me feel so good.
So you're in your 30s, but you look like you're in your 20s.
That's no, I don't, but thank you.
Leave a comment.
No,
really, I'm not
no,
even
no,
really
no, leave a comment. Do not leave a comment. I don't want
to
hear how old you think I am.
Don't listen to her.
Don't
listen to me.
Leave a comment.
This is my podcast, not
Please.
Hers. She's not
going
to sleep with you. Her boyfriend's allowed to sleep with other girls. She's not allowed to sleep with other men. So do not leave that comment.
That's really nice. Okay.
Thank you.
That's so stupid. You like planted her to walk through.
We rehearsed this like
all the two people. Hold the other two people. No, I'm just kidding.
So,
let your man sleep with other ones.
Okay.
No.
So now that you know I'm 39,
I didn't know you were 39.
Take what you can get, bitch.
No, I get it. Bitch, I didn't know you were old news. The expiration date. Now I get it.
That's so funny.
No.
Okay.
But, how old is your man?
He's 42.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, I listen, all joking aside, you're a woman worth so much more than what you're putting yourself out to be. If this man's listening, he should be smart and keep on not having sex with a girl. But I wouldn't encourage that behavior because then he'll...
I just want to hear about it, though. This is my problem, is I get horned up. Like, our foreplay is me being like, tell me about a girl like you hooked up before us. Like, I want to hear about all. I can't help that it turns me on more than anything when
I
feel threatened.
Are you bisexual?
Mm-mm. No, I don't want to have any. I don't want to, like, he sometimes wants to bring a third party in, and I'm like, I don't want to eat pussy. Like, I just want you to eat. Like, I don't. I want to watch you eat
sorry,
pussy,
Mom,
but
I
don't.
You're watching.
I'm so sorry. Is this not like we don't talk like this?
No. Just, do everything you're about.
I just I'm so sorry, Mom. And but I don't. Yeah, I'm not interested in women like that. At least I don't know. I've
so
never.
So you just want the man that every other girl wants.
Yeah, and I kind of like want to hear about. So anyway, the reason this I discovered this about myself was that whenever I was hooking up with my boyfriend or like with guys, I would just want to hear about when they hooked up with other women. I don't know why. I just thought it was hot. Like the beginning stages where it's like, when did you make a first move? Like that stuff all is like really hot to me. And my boyfriend like ran out of stories to tell because there's only so many women he's hooked up with before me. There's like dozens, but it's only so many good stories.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, I think you need more. Like I know where all these go. They're not enticing to me anymore. So like go make more stories.
Okay. Fair enough. Question.
So
did
he has.
What age was your first intimate relationship?
Oh, that's a great question. 24.
24.
I was
which
late.
Is crazy because I thought you were 24. 24 and was he older or younger than you?
He was my age.
And was he trying to make you jealous by keep reminding you of like who he was?
No. I was like, no. I've never been in like, I've never been in that kind of relationship before. Until this relationship that I'm in, it's been 10 years off and on.
Holy cow.
Yeah,
no
I know.
Way.
Well, it's been
wait,
so
has it
long.
Only been off and on because you want him to go collect more stories and then come back?
No, but that's interesting. He's gone. That has been good for us that we've had those breaks. And then we come back and I'm like, what'd you get done? Show me some pictures. But
show me some pictures.
I've
what
seen
are
some,
ops,
I've
bro,
seen some footage. It's been good. But it's been off and on because we just like break up. And we think we're never going to get back together. And then we end up... you know, talking again. And then we're like, we'll hang out as friends. And then it just ends up, we're back together. And we've like changed a lot over 10 years. It's been good. And then, but before then I was always in long distance relationships, or I would seek out men who had girlfriends, or like just guys that were unavailable.
You're
that, like,
on,
couldn't,
on
like
your
me.
Ariana Grande vibe.
Yeah. I mean, I like kind of relate to that. I mean, I don't relate to breaking someone up that just had a baby with a woman. I mean, that seems yeah. pretty insane.
Break up a marriage, but
you're a fucking liar, bro. You're at home. You're like, tell me, how old was the kid? How old
two? No.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, she's still pregnant? Fuck yes. Yes.
No, your bit was hilarious when in one of your stand-ups, you were talking about how you were in a long-distance relationship, and then he came. He was throwing up in the alley.
Yes,
you made him both-
dude. Yes. He, like, cheated so on me. Funny. And, like, yeah, he was... I was just always dating guys who were alcoholics, pieces of shit. Like, kind of just... Not pieces of shit, just, like, really... just weren't able to love me because I didn't like myself. I mean, I do have a self-esteem issue. It's much better than it was before, but yeah, I just never wanted, and then I would always pursue men that like could not love me. And then I would get frustrated when I'd be like, they don't like me. But it's like, I'm choosing men who like clearly won't. So it's my, because I'm scared to be loved.
I feel like you're more in love with the achievement aspects of your life than the relationship aspects of your life.
Yeah, I think that's a true statement.
Yeah.
I always want, that's why I think breaking up and getting back together, like, it always feels like an achievement when we get back together. It's like I earned something. Like, I had to work to convince him, let's get back together. Then I get it. And then I'm kind of like, all right, now I'm comfortable. I don't like being comfortable.
I think a lot of people too, like, they need the highs and the lows. Yeah. It's the adrenaline rush of,
that's
like, the highs and lows.
That's so it.
I think, and dude, this is gonna sound like I'm talking about myself. And I'm not. I'm just truly just reflecting. The moments that I notice arouse my girlfriend more is when I go like, enough, I'm working. And like, she just likes the fact that I go and get and I hunt and I
when
get my shit.
When he's in a business meeting?
And like, when she'll tell me all the time, she's like, dude, the way you talk to that guy and you got shit done. Like, she loves a hunter aspect of it.
Mm.
And that hunter needs to know, and a lot of men don't know how to do this. Hey, babe, shut up right now. I need to go hunt.
Yes.
And you need that man to kind of give you that like, hey, enough. Go over there. And that will give you enough of the like, oh, I need to earn his like attention later.
That's a really good point. Wow, so you're very smart. How old are you?
I'm 30 now. I'm 30.
Okay, you're very smart. You're very intelligent. Do you go to therapy? Do you just read a lot of books about this stuff?
I reflect on myself. I always attack myself.
That's a really good thing to send me off with, of like, maybe that's what you need, is just, you want something that's unattainable. You want to keep like trying to fight for his attention and to earn him. Maybe he needs to set some boundaries to like horn you up.
It's a very attractive quality you have of trying to continue to be sexually attracted to your man. A lot of women go off, like, instead of being like, oh, you go off, they're the ones that goes off. You have a loyalty in your heart.
Yeah.
So I would just say pivot the man. No shot at the 10-year dude. But
no.
I would love to see you with a man that you're like, baby, look what I did today. And he's like, no, babe, I'm busy doing something that you know is great. And you're like, fuck, okay, like, I'm gonna wait and just, I can't wait to like.
Yeah, so instead of fucking a woman, he's like,
he's fucking up the world for you.
Yeah, career.
And then when you have children, or I don't know if you want to adopt or have children, or
you're like thinking about my egg situation at 39. Well, you're like, if you want to adopt or a surrogate.
I'm just kidding. Obviously adoption, right? So if you ever wanted to adopt somebody, that sexual tension that you have of like, oh, he's gonna go out is seriously gonna burn out when you have a family.
I agree. Yeah.
And listen, like, I could have sat here and we could have fucked around and had so many bits, but when I met you, I could feel like you're such a good person.
Aww,
that
thanks.
I want to push you off in that right direction, because I think that DaVinci's been trying to get me to have you on the podcast since we first started, and I had already a set list, and I'm like, I don't want to have her too early because we're not going to have a strong enough audience.
Aww.
And then once I got to research who you are, I'm very impressed of what you've done, and I'm excited to see what you're going to do next.
Wow, thanks.
I want to make sure that I cut ties from like what's joking, what's serious.
Yeah.
Joking, have all the fun, but serious is like, you're worth way more than what
thanks,
you're putting
man.
Yourself
on. Okay, me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well
I will.
Said. Well said.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
But I want to actually take it back to when you were dating, because I feel like you have some crazy dating stories then. Like,
I just like went for the wrong type of person. And no, I didn't date like a lot. I was really, I talk a lot about sex on stage. Obviously, I'm very open about talking about all that. I was just like, I was a prude. I didn't have a boyfriend until I was 24. I didn't have sex until I was 21. I was really scared of sex and scared of dating and scared of men in general. And then I think when I first started having sex, I was like, well, this is easier than I thought it'd be. I thought it was like really scary. I didn't kiss a boy all through high school. I never had a boyfriend in high school. Like, I liked boys so much, but I was just like scared. I just couldn't picture myself like kissing someone. Like, oh, wait, so how awkward. Did
you make that jump from like for so long up until you're 24? That's long.
I really owe it to alcohol. Is honestly what I owe it to. I don't think I would have ever had the lack of nerves to mm-hmm. like, I think most people lubricate that kind of nervous energy of like being horny and not knowing what to do with it. Like, how do you make a first move on a girl? It's hard. So easy when you're drunk, but it is yeah. so hard when you're
yeah,
not.
Yeah, totally.
So and when true. I quit drinking at 27, so I was drinking from like 21 until 27 pretty much. And when I quit drinking at 27, man, dating again was, it's starting over. Like, mm. how do I get horny enough that I think this is a good idea? Because it is weird to go from talking to someone on a date yeah. to like, cut to an hour later, you're both like, like humping and sweating and like licking each other's genitals. Like, that's weird. You gotta be kind
of
crazy.
Great choice of words, yeah. right?
You know, yeah, like yeah. that's what you're doing though. But it's yes. like, and right before that, you were like, so tell me about your sister, and like eating and worrying about having parsley in your teeth, and then you're like, in his balls, and like, yeah. how do you get from there to there without alcohol? It's you have to be either overwhelmed with horniness, which women don't generally get. Men can get there. Women don't generally get like, I'm so horny, I will do anything. Like, we can get there, but it takes a lot of foreplay. It's not just like a dinner that'll get us there. So usually alcohol is what women rely on to get mm-hmm. them to that state of like, I'm willing to like get really funky right now.
Yeah, now that you're sober, how do you get to that level? Like, with
I have to like wait it out. I have
wait,
to,
you're
like,
sober?
Yeah. For I mean, how long? I smoke a little weed. Since I was 27, so 3 years ago, based on what, you know, so 11 years. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Good for you.
Coming yeah. up on 12.
Was it wrecking your life? Is that why you were?
It was just like, it was going to be a hindrance to my career success.
It was slowing you down.
Like, I just looked at the people that whose career I wanted and I was like, man, they don't drink. That's like, that's the difference between them and me is like, I drink and my hangovers were just too brutal. And then I would just be in bed all day nursing that. And so I just was like, I can't. Let's just see what happens without it. And then suddenly my career just went on an upswing. It could have been coincidental, but
like,
I don't think
somehow,
it was.
I don't know. But.
Yeah, I'm not like laying in bed barfing all day and then like getting home and overeating and feeling like shit and mm-hmm. pimply and just gross and dry and ugh. And saying dumb things and all my relationships being based around, because I liked having sex, but I couldn't have sex without alcohol. And I saw that disconnect. I saw there's a problem there because I would like sleep over at a guy's place, have sex the night before, wake up in the morning sober. And then he wants to have sex again. And I'm like, ugh. Like, do you have any booze? Because that's the only way So I realized the only reason I was sleeping with these people is because I was drunk. I didn't really even like them. So I was like, let's take it away and see what happens. And it took a really long time before I was like attracted enough to someone to, you know, be able to do that stuff without drinking.
Wow.
Because I was just so weirded out by sex.
So
still
then
I am.
How did you become so comfortable to be on stage to talk about sex? Because I feel like that's such a lot of people, you know, are very uncomfortable yeah. being so open, going into such detail the way that you do. So yeah. what made you to go from only being able to have sex while you're drunk to then being able to do that sober?
I think because I was so scared about sex when I was coming up and when I was a young girl, that the second I was able to start talking on a microphone in front of people and being able to say anything I wanted, I was like, I want to say the things that I wondered about when I was young. Like, I want to be the voice for women that are like, what happens in there? What should I expect? Like, I know I watch porn, I watch it in movies, but like, what is it really about? So it was kind of, I felt like a duty to my younger self to like fill in the gaps of my knowledge with sex now that I had experienced some of it. So I think that's it. And I also just don't, it's like the way I look at sex, like I was saying, like a tennis game or like a sharing a meal with someone. Like, I don't have this like, that's my sex life. You can't know about that. Like, I just, whatever some people have, I don't have that. I just don't have that filter when it feels, and I wish I did because it makes people uncomfortable sometimes. I overshare and I feel weird about it afterwards when I find out people
You're
are,
not ashamed of who you are.
Not in that regard. Like, it's almost like I am ashamed of it, but I gain back the, I can control the narrative if I tell the story. Mm. Like, I'm ashamed. Like, sex is so... That's it. I am trying to get rid of shame for people because I think people have shame around sex. We don't talk about it openly. Like, it's just like kind of embarrassing, our sexual urges, the faces we make, the sounds we make, the people we have sex with, like the just everything about it's just like, ugh. In American society, we're puritanical. We don't talk about sex. And I just feel like that makes it so people don't know what to expect when they get in there. And that's where like bad things happen. When girls are like, oh, I don't know. He like fucked my head, but I guess that's okay. And they're like, no, that's not okay that he fucked your whatever made you. I want to talk about sex in a way that makes it a little bit more easy for everyone to talk about. So I think that I'm just trying to get, and it's interesting. Yeah. It's the thing that no one talks about. And it's the thing that motivates all of us at the very, even if you're asexual, your life is about not having sex. Like a part of your identity is like, I don't want to do this thing that everyone wants to do. So sex is like constantly on our minds. It motivates everything. It's the reason that we all exist. Yet we don't talk about it. It just seems crazy.
It's so true. It's like, there's like five things that we as humans want, right? It's like food, sex, shelter, and like a feeling of importance. And we talk about the other four all the time, but we don't talk about sex ever.
No. Yeah. It's so strange that we don't, but that's why I just am so baffled by it, because like, it's funny that like my sister is like, please don't include me in any of your jokes about sex or anything, because you know, I'm a teacher. And I'm like, but you've been pregnant around your students. Like, they know you've gotten dick down. Like, who are you?
That's your reason.
She's like a high school teacher, but it's like, if I see a pregnant woman, I'm like, she had sex. Like, that's where my mind goes. Yeah. Like, it's most of the time she's not like doing an in vitro thing. And even so, then her husband was like in a cup, like, ooh. And like, I think of that. Like, I'm like, wait, what motivated him to do that? Like, it's not that weird that we're all the product of a guy going, like, that's all of us. Every single person you see is like an orgasm. It's crazy.
Your perspective is hilarious.
Let me just digest all the cum jokes that we just made.
No, it's not jokes. This is real, George. Like, this is like, you are a product of that noise.
No, I get it. I was hanging in my dad's nutsack before I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my thing. How do we go? Okay, well, let's just take it back to your stand-up. You're like the Taylor Swift but fucking jokes, bro. Like, that's the most terrifying thing in the world. If you're dating a chick that goes on stage and talks about her sex life, bro, that's intimidating to date.
Yes, it is. So, I would agree. So I like to think that's the reason I had so much trouble until I didn't in dating, is that men were intimidated by me.
Did you ever date anybody that was in the industry?
Oh yeah, tons.
And you never talked about it?
No, I've talked about it a little here and there, but it's always been comedians that, like, had girlfriends when they dated me. Like, I can't talk about it, you know? They're like married to the people they cheated on me with.
Oh no.
You know, like, it's those kinds of things. Like, please don't hate me and think I'm a bad person. Like, I didn't think those women were, I didn't know that they were even dating those women when I would hook up those guys. And now they're like, and so I can't really like ever talk about those things.
Do you think they had one of those things where you were like, go sleep with other women?
No. I think in some situations, yeah, where they like probably know about it, but it was early on in their relationships where it wasn't like, they weren't clearly defined yet or something. So I was maybe an overlap, but I used to always like go for comedians and I like a glitzy, like glamorous, like kind of showy person as much as anyone does, as much as any girl does, like a celebrity kind of guy. Like I'm totally like,
So how did you get into this industry and stand up? Were you involved in it?
I went away to college my freshman year. I was anorexic. I had no friends. I was like a skeleton. No one would talk to me. I had like, literally I looked like I was on death's door, cause I was. And so I was planning to die. Like I had no plan for like how I was going to get out of this disease. It was killing me. I had no way of getting out. I wanted to die every night because it was hell. And then, but I was really funny because no one wanted to be friends with me. So my personality just went like through the roof. And in high school, I was kind of like quiet and like, I was funny, but to my friends, not like I wasn't the class clown. And I just didn't need to be, I was like, had my group of friends. That was enough. But then in college, I went off alone. I had no friends. And so I just became like funnier as a survival technique, I think, because I remember my friends in college saying that people would go to them and be like, we're worried about Nikki's going to die. And they're like, I forgot she was even anorexic because she's so funny. Like, I don't notice how she looks. So I was like, oh, it's working. You know, like my personality, like the fat kid is usually really funny because they're just, don't look over here, look here, you know, like distracting from the thing that they feel so insecure about. So it was around that time where people started saying you should be a comedian. And I had never considered it. I was like, I don't know. I just had nothing to live for. I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be a singer, but I wasn't good at acting. I was okay at singing, but not good enough to like make it. And so I tried stand-up comedy. And the first time I tried it, I was like, this is my reason to live. Like, I got to find a cure for this disease. So I went to like my campus, psychiatry clinic, therapist clinic, and was like, can you please help me like beat this? Cause I just didn't know what to do.
How did you beat it?
I mean, it took so many years and I still struggle with like eating stuff, but it never has even been close to as bad as back then. I found a guy that I felt so guilty when you have anorexia or you have an eating disorder, whether it's, you know, you overeat and you're obese or you undereat and you're anorexic or you're bulimic, whatever you are. You feel like it's your fault. You feel like you're choosing it. You can't really look at it like a disease. Mental illness is really hard to see it as like a disease and to have anyone have any fucking empathy for you, especially when you're anorexic or obese, people just go stop eating or just eat a sandwich or like just this is under your control. Just eat. This is you have the medicine. Just do it. But they don't understand you can't. Like, and I don't understand why I couldn't. I just know I've been through it and I couldn't eat. Just the way a person with cancer can't cure their own cancer on their own, I couldn't cure it on my own. And this doctor, this therapist I went to had a stutter, which was really interesting because he was able to empathize with me of this thing where people are like, just talk.
And so he was like, just talk.
Yeah, he was like, like our sessions would take forever because he is a horrible stutter, but I felt so understood.
Right.
I was like, this is half price, right? I felt understood for the first time because he was like, I understand why people are frustrated with my thing and make it seem like I'm choosing to do this. Right. And it seems like my choice and not, because I eventually finished the sentence. So clearly you know what to do. Just say it, idiot. Yeah. Yeah. And so he was able to make it feel like he said, okay, you know, this is a chair. And he made me like talk to an empty chair and pretend like my disease was in the chair. And he made me, he said, picture yourself as Reagan on The Exorcist. Like something late at night, like just flew into your mouth. Like you got possessed. Like you caught anorexia. You didn't like, it's not something you are in control of. It's a voice in your head. Like you're possessed. Stop listening to that voice. Treat it like not like your voice. It's not Nikki being like, don't eat today. It's the devil. Mm. So as long I was able to look at it like something else that I could beat as opposed to this thing that I was in control of. And I think that's like the key to so much is like not trying to have control over it, not trying to like cure your cancer, like letting go and being like, or like alcoholism, like it's about like realizing you have no control. Like the first step is like, I have no control over alcohol, my addiction to alcohol. It's like the first step is like releasing control. And I think that really helped me as soon as I was like, it's not your fault. You're not like choosing to do this because it does seem like something when you see someone who's anorexic and you're like, ew, just eat, bitch. Like, it seems like they're also trying to be like hot and you're like, this isn't even working for you. And mine was not about like, I hope people think I'm skinny. Like it was so beyond that. So,
yeah, of course.
So yeah, I got over it within, I started doing stand up and that, like, I just had a new motivation to live. So I was like, I just worked really hard on like beating it and
that's incredible.
Yeah. And it changed to bulimia and then it was binging and it was all a bunch of different things, exercising too much and hurting myself. But
you have an addictive personality.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
I tell this to people all the time. I go, I have an addictive personality. And I don't listen to the world. So if they're like, this is right or this is wrong, I stick to what I feel looks right or wrong. And I diligently work at it. In the double-edged sword of that, if I love something that's no good for me, all hell breaks loose because I just go full in. For example, marijuana for me is terrible because it's the only time that I can get away from my reflective thoughts 24/7.
And do you still smoke weed?
Yeah, I'm, but way less than I used to.
Do you? I'm the same way with weed. It's the one thing that I can't like let go of, and I really feel like it helps with my depression in the short term. Mm. I smoke a little weed, and whatever I'm worried about, whatever I'm sad about, goes away. And then I think in the long term, it kind of causes it. But that's the one thing that I have not been able to really let go from my life. But I also think that as soon as you just said I don't listen to anyone else, I listen to myself. I really thought about weed for myself because when I reach for the weed, I always think, no, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is good for you. You want this. Trust your instincts that you want it. And then I start feeling stupider and feeling slower. And then I start going, wait, I think this is bad for me. It's like,
you're already in the trap.
Yeah,
so
man.
Those, the voices that you hear in your head, not to get like all spiritual on you.
No, please.
So I believe in Christ, right? So I read the Bible. And everything you're speaking about is what Apostle Paul talks about. And he's like, you shouldn't feel bad of what you think. You should feel bad about your actions. So that voice in your head is like, don't eat. You're right. It is the devil. He's trying to tarnish your temple, your body, the thing that fulfills you. And then that marijuana is great up until the point you're high. And then you're like, fuck, I'm here. And imagine those voices that are like, get you high, they're gone. Because they already did their job. It's kind of like that guy at the bar is like, come on, take another drink. Come home with me. As soon as you guys have sex, it's like you don't hear his voice anymore. He's gone. So he accomplished what he needed and he left. So just,
what do you do with weed now though? Like, do you listen to those voices? Like when
you know,
do,
so
when
I
you
used
do
to
it a
wake
little
up
bit,
and
like,
smoke and
right.
like I would secretly smoke too. So like I would be high and around people and they didn't know. I was like,
yeah,
it was a bad thing. And then, so I just started I was like, oh, I gotta really attack this. And the first step of attacking it is being honest.
Can I ask you why you thought you had to attack it? What were the things that, like, the negatives about it?
There was no negatives. You. That was the dangerous part.
Oh, no. So why even quit?
Because in the future, when I'm a father, when I'm a husband, when I have everything, there's a substance that is stringing along my life that could grow. Everything that I look at that I do in my life is a mustard seed, and I'm going to see the direction it's going to grow. So if I am addicted at the age of 29 when I started, okay, when I'm 35, am I going to be a pothead that's a father, or am I going to be a diligent father? So, like, I'm not worried about to next year or tomorrow. I'm worried about, where is this action taking me? Because the reap what you sow. A lot of people reap something. Like, for example, if you're harvesting crops that are corn, and you want watermelons after that, you're like, a lot of people are shocked. Why isn't this watermelon? Motherfucker, you've been reaping corn this whole time, and you're only going to get corn. So a lot of people will look at their own actions and blame everybody else. So to destroy that process, I reflect and make sure that my steps are where they're going to be in 5 years. I'm planning. And a lot of people run away from it because they get overwhelmed. Well, what if I die in 2 years? Well, you're a fucking idiot. You haven't died when you're 30 something years old. So that type of mindset is stupid. And you're focusing on death instead of living.
Yes.
So two things I've kind of, like, noticed about you. One, that theory of, like, you want your man to go out and get another woman. Mm-hmm. I feel like stems from your growing up, of you having that mental mindset that you had. And now is that girl inside of you achieving the things that she never thought she'd achieve.
Huh.
Do you get what I'm saying? It's like that guy that you never thought you would get. Not only did I get him.
I need him to keep being that guy.
I could still keep getting him.
Right. I need to keep.
I told Belle, I go, the monogamy part wasn't hard for me because I wanted to go sleep with other girls. The reason why me and her even ended up dating seriously is because she's the best sex I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry to put that out there. We could cut anything I'm about to say that makes you uncomfortable. But the best sex I've ever had. The problem was I noticed that I missed the me being able to get the girl. So all my friends not getting it. And then my charm, it's a performance.
That's what I miss.
It's the performance.
I don't miss sex with other people. I just miss being like, I am about to kiss him, and now it's done.
Boom. So, and
it's so true.
It's really good. So what I did is I challenged that. So I talked to God about it. And in my heart, a few weeks later, God
will
goes,
will you talk to him for me about it?
I got you. I will.
Okay.
After this, we'll pray together. Yet. Okay. It'll be great.
Yeah. Well, put me in touch with him.
I got you.
Give me his number. Okay.
I got the guy. He's the hookup. He's one call away.
He's been DMing me, but I'm not. Yeah. Not the right one. It's in my request. Not the right one. I haven't accepted.
Jesus doesn't really slide into the DMs. You know what I mean? Like, but I focused that energy that I wanted on, like, impressing other women and to impressing my crew. So, like, it's like I have that selfish need of, like, I need people to look at me like, dog, you're fucking it up, right? Like, I need that because that's what fills me. So I just channeled
it in other ways.
In another way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you could have a successful relationship.
Now, what do you mean when you talk to God? Are you talking? Are you writing? Are you
I journal
thinking?
My thoughts.
Okay.
And I read the word. So okay. I would dive into Proverbs if I was you. It's just wisdom. Like the Proverbs is about a king, between a relationship with a king and a God. And God goes, what do you want? And besides money, besides fame, besides power, he goes, God, I just want your wisdom. And so he gives him wisdom. And through this, he taught me that, like, hey, you're going to have these feelings before I even met her.
Wow.
I had these feelings. Let me give you an example. You have gut feelings. When I was in my single phase, a guy reminded me really quick. He goes, what are you waiting for? And my hoe ass at the time, I was like, I'm just fucking these bad bitches until the right one comes. And he goes, I thought you believed in God. And I go, I do. But when he brings me the right one, then I'm going to stop fucking around. And he goes, that doesn't make sense. Because if he's God, why would he give you a girl you don't even deserve right now? And I was like, whoa. So, like, a lot of us like to do actions and then blame God or blame everybody around us. So what I did is I started treating myself with respect, started treating every girl around me with respect. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, I find the right one. But here's the thing. If I kept treating girls disrespectfully, I might have accidentally blew past her and treated her disrespectfully.
Yes, and you would have lost her forever.
Exactly.
The whole chance.
So that was my actions, not hers.
Interesting.
So you got
to... Okay, but forgive me for being so naive when it comes to praying and talking to God. When you're getting this feedback, what does it sound like to you when someone's saying, well...
I think we all have it. I think you...
That
voice in your head that's like, don't eat.
Yeah.
You know that's not a good place. And you said it yourself. It's a devil.
It's the devil, yeah.
You, like, as much as you know that's the devil, when God speaks to you, you know. And it's not audible.
I'm just
not
listening. It's almost like, you know, your gut feeling. Sometimes we're like, oh, I just have a feeling. It's not us. Like, that's God, like, you know, kind of telling you, like, hey, like, you feel this way. Like, you're inclined to feel this way. It's like the Holy Spirit inside of you telling you, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So I think maybe I'm just not tuned into that feeling as much. I'm more focused on that devil voice.
I think listen, I always tell people like this. A lot of Christians like to judge. A lot of people like to judge. They go, well, why isn't she like this? Why isn't she this? I think that you're perfectly where you need to be. Yeah. I think that everything in your life was meant to be. It was written, right? It comes to a time in everybody's life where they have to sit with themselves and be like, okay, there might be a creator of this place. And do I want to invite him in my life? Mm-hmm. And that's the only question that you have to really sit with. Is he there? And if he is there, do I want him in my life? And a lot of people run away from having that type of thought because the first thing you think of is like, fuck, I got to change everything. Like, I got to change everything. And I was actually writing this in my journal. And this is the best way that I could explain my relationship with God.
Yeah.
When I brought my relationship with God, it was selfish. It was like, I want all this stuff and I'm going to talk to the main man in charge and like get this stuff going. Mm-hmm. And then I secretly found out that all of my dreams and aspirations and my goals come so far down the list with me just spending time with him. And I was like, whoa, hold on. So you're telling me everything that I've ever wanted and I achieved it, but then I'm looking over my shoulder at the time where I'm just reading the Bible at the park, and that version of me is so much more enjoyable than me killing this show or touring the world or making the money that DaVidge is bringing to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, only I could really know this. DaVidge can't know that I have less fun here than here. So then selfishly, I was just like, oh, this, I'm just going to tap more into this. And then I would take those hard roads. I'm like, okay, well, I have to fix this, right? Like, I can't be a piece of shit here. I got to fix this up. And then when I'm done, this is the best way I could feel. When you ever do like a good show, a great performance, right? Mm-hmm. It takes everything out of you. Yeah. But when you're laying in bed and you're tired, that feeling of like, I got it done, it's like at a crazy different level.
Yes.
Do you get what I'm saying?
That's what I'm seeking. People go, what's your favorite thing in the world? Like, what's your happiest place? And I'm like, after I've done something extremely hard.
Yeah.
And after I've achieved something, like after a long day of work and feeling like, laying in bed and being like, I did it. And finally being able to rest knowing, but that's also punitive to me. Like, I feel like I can't really relax unless I've suffered first. I really like suffering.
Why do you think you need to do that?
I don't know. What do you think?
Because now if there's demons, hypothetically, mm-hmm. there's demons.
Yeah.
Well, they want you to suffer. They don't want you to do well. And your flesh doesn't come with you to the next life. So your flesh is completely telling you the things that they want now and here that's mm-hmm. going to destroy you. Gluttony or anorexia. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, and it's so funny because you'd see a pastor on stage telling you about discipline, but he's fat. And you're like, dude, you can't even get a diet and a workout right. in order. We all have issues. Sure. We all have these things in our head that are telling us to do what we shouldn't be doing. And if any Christian ever comes up to you and asks like they're perfect and that you're so far away from them, the biggest disciple all of them was Paul. And he wrote to Romans, he goes, I do what I shouldn't do.
Which Paul brother was he?
He was Logan, actually. After the fight, he wrote it was actually really great. He did this speech funny. And he's like, sometimes the devil's gonna make your way into his life. That's probably too, I probably have to cut that.
Yeah, okay, so Paul is the one that...
So basically, Paul just basically explains that, like, life is just a journey of, like, you fighting what you know you shouldn't be doing.
Mm.
And that comes with so much better things out of life. Like, for example, I'll circle back to the guy not sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really fucking tough to say no to the girl that wants to have sex with him at that time. But, like, when years go by, that same man is going to have two paths in his life through his actions. Either he's by himself... Or he's with a woman with a kid that is a broken home because of his own actions. Or he could be walking into an establishment that he built with his partner. And he could look over and be like, this roof is secure for my children and my wife. These are consequences that every man's going to walk into.
So you're saying, like, look ahead.
Always. A man who doesn't plan for his life plans for his failure. A woman?
You said a man who doesn't plan. Well, I mean, I know you're talking. I was just thinking.
But a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really think that far in the future. That's maybe a problem for me because people are always like, you've achieved so much. Like, how did you know that? I've never had goals. Like, I've never sat down and been like, I want to do these things. I've kind of just like gone through life and been like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, that sounds fun. I don't like to think too far ahead. I think because I am scared of death. And I think if I think too far ahead, that's where that goes. Mm-hmm. And it's because that's the inevitability.
And if you think about it, like if you peel it back.
Yeah.
And you like say, for example, war, right? There's always people are scared of war, especially with the media putting out the war. Let's just hypothetically say the time of day is all of us dying is in 3 months from now.
Okay.
Your actions would be way different.
Yes.
Your actions, when a man who has cancer finds out he has cancer, he's not caring about his work anymore. He's caring about his mother. He's caring about his father. Mm-hmm. He's caring about going to the park with his dog that he promised that he would take to the park. All of his shit changes immediately as soon as you put a time and frame on your death. So it's funny that people say, well, I'm scared of death, so I don't plan. Nah, you're just scared of failure. You're scared of you thinking you're not good enough. You're scared of that if you do put yourself to it, it's not going to work. And then now you have to live your life knowing you're a piece of shit that can't get anything done.
Oh, God.
So it's you really just have to face your demon and just realize this. Regardless of where you're at, right? Like, say from this day forward, you go on the next tour and you bomb and everybody in the world is like, oh, she's terrible, and she moves on. This is the same grave you're going to have of you being fucking the biggest that star in the world or the worst star in the world. So even if you were King David himself, in 100 years from now, no one's ever going to know your name.
Yeah. No, I know. I always think that. That always brings me so much peace.
You know why? Because you're not achieving something. For everybody wants to achieve a legacy so they can leave behind.
Mm. Everything will be destroyed someday. You will be a fossil that is indistinguishable from Abraham Lincoln, from Obama. Like, I will be as remembered as Obama sometime in the future.
We're not that special. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all not that special.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Sometimes I will say, sometimes it is best to look at what's right in front of you, because then, like, you don't want to overwhelm yourself too much. You want to plan for the future, 100%. You want to plan, you want to be smart, you know what I mean? But I think also, too, when it comes to your goals, if you're looking at what's right in front of you, then you're not overwhelming yourself and you're able to kind of, like, be more progressive, you know, and accomplishing the task.
Well, that's because you already had the vision, right?
So, like, yeah, I have a vision, but, you
know. I'm talking specifically with people that don't even have a vision. They don't have a dream yet.
Right.
A lot of people say step one is, like, do something. It's like, no, step one's dream.
No, and I think you're right. It's not that I'd never had goals, because I have goals of, like, I just want to, I want to be happy. And I think I had, you know, early goals of, I want to be on television, or I want to perform in some way. I would like to be friends with that kind of person and that kind of, and be in the same, like, social circles. And I've achieved all of those things. So I think there was always a part of me in high school. My friends used to always say, because I was really obsessed with Dave Matthews Band in high school. Mm-hmm. And I just was in love with him. And I would always tell my friends, like, I'm going to meet him someday. Like, there's no doubt about it. And they were like, you're going to win some, like, radio contest. I'm like, no, I'm going to be, like, famous. And that's how, like, and they were just like, ew. Like, I mean, now I think with this generation, probably your generation, people in high school were more like, I'm going to be famous someday. People didn't, maybe like 5% of kids wanted to be famous when I was growing up. And I was one of them. And people used to just go like, that's cute. But I was like, but it's gonna, I didn't have any question of it. Mm. And the only time that I questioned it, And let me just be clear, fame used to be my goal, because I thought that was like, that would be the coolest thing, to be in a restaurant and have everyone being like, oh my God, Nikki Glaser's over there. That is not what I want anymore. I realize now I just want, like, love and also money at this point, and just safety, you know, like, that's what I really want in my life, and the respect of my peers. But when growing up, I was always wanting to be famous, and I just never, the one time I questioned it was when I wasn't getting in theater school. I wasn't getting in, like, the plays in high school even. And I didn't go to, like, a theater high school. So I'm like, I'm obviously not a good actress. I'm not going to be Jennifer Aniston. This sucks. And then I wasn't really a good singer. And I was like, I don't know what my in is going to be. There was no reality TV yet. There was, like, the Real World or whatever. But I was like, I don't want to, like, be famous for, like, throwing up in a hot tub or whatever they do on there. And I just really was like, I guess I'll have to kill myself someday. I was, like, really depressed about it, because I just didn't see how I could have happiness in my life. And now I realize I could outside of that. But at the time, it was just, there was never any doubt about it.
You have the sauce and you don't even know what the sauce is. And I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now.
Please.
Why do you think it worked out for you?
I think luck has a lot to do with it. I think the way I was raised, the support I had from my parents, the comedy that I was exposed to, and that I'm a genuinely, like, nice person that people want to be around. I think that has helped me. But I think it's a mixture of all of those things, and you know, talent and hard work.
what I've gathered.
But you think it's marinara or something? What's the sauce?
It's pink sauce.
What is it?
It's your faith. You see,
I almost said, I thought you said my face, and I go, oh, again. Yeah, like, yeah, with yeah, the you.
Shorty, your my face. My face? Your faith.
In whoa, the,
when everybody
dude.
Said, you're going to be famous, and he's like, I don't know. I just know it's going to happen. You went to acting school. Didn't work out for you. You wanted to be a musician. Didn't work out for you. The world said no. Your talents in front of other people, they said no. But in your heart, you said, no, it's going to happen. So during the down, you had faith. And when you were up, whoa, you had faith.
That's what faith is.
Faith.
It's like,
because I was raised in an atheist home. So I really don't like connect with faith. Faith to me is almost...
It's believing what your eyes and ears can't see and hear.
Right.
So you did it. You believed in yourself.
I did.
You had faith.
That's really interesting.
So the next time you have any, I noticed you said you still kind of deal with the eating issues.
Yeah, I deal with a lot of self-doubt.
So just think about this. It's 0.1% of the world are in your shoes right now. You did it sheerly off of the fact that you believe you can do it.
Okay.
So now when you ever run into something that you feel that you can't do, remember you already did something that millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people try to do every day. 30 million plus people move to LA to do this every year, and you did it.
That's a real number.
It's a real number.
30 million.
30 million people, especially now because of social media, Connecticut people are trying to make it.
Oh, it's
I
everyone.
Guarantee you 70
everyone.
Million people a year easily. Easily are trying to do what
Jesus.
You're doing right now.
Okay.
And you
I feel like most people
it.
Don't even last a year in LA. Like they'll come and they just
yeah.
fucking dip.
So it's a cycle shit. Of people.
But there's a lot of luck involved for sure.
What's lucky about it? How okay.
Being born in the time where I was before social media, so I didn't have that kind of competition.
That's
I'm not good
hard,
at social media.
That's harder
so.
Though.
Do you feel like social that's your self-doubt that's saying that it's luck when in reality it's just
yeah,
your...
I mean, a little bit, but luck has to account for things. I mean, there are people that are born into living in Gaza right now. You know, like they don't have a chance to even move to Hollywood ever. You know, like that's luck that I was not born in a war-torn country. That's fucking just luck that my parents didn't abuse me in the ways that would discourage me from ever being able to, you know, pursue a career and have even a little bit of faith in myself. The fact that I was born in this century where I live in a world where stand-up comedy is even an option as a career, which it wasn't until, you know, 50 years ago. The fact that I was born in 1984 and that puts me in an age where women can even do comedy, which wasn't, like, I was born at the right, there's so much luck.
But you took the cards that you were dealt and then you made them into something. Whereas a lot of people have the same cards as you and they try and try and try, but maybe they don't have that like same level of like delusional self-confidence that you have.
Yeah, it is delusional. That is luck that I was even born with the brain that would have a delusional self-confidence.
Do you believe in bad luck?
Yeah.
So
well, like,
would
I just,
you ever
no,
shatter
I believe in,
a mirror?
No, I don't believe. I don't. I kind of believe in superstitious stuff, but I don't believe in bad. I think luck is luck. Like, there's good luck and there's bad luck, but some people, you know, when. I think some people have bad luck, but it's just like not winning the lottery. Like, I won the lottery to even. We all won the lottery to be born. We all know, like, the odds.
Yeah.
There's like, it's like 60 million sperm and ours made it. It's like, that's
I think
already
it's
a lot.
One in 400 trillion is
okay,
the actual number.
That,
like you're way off.
Yeah. I thought it was even way off with 60 million. That's so we already won that lottery, which is that's the odds are worse than any lottery I've ever heard of in my life to win that. So, or so yeah, I feel like there's bad luck. What is that? I forget the question.
No. I don't. I understand that some people might fall into bad circumstances. But for example, Usman, right? He's the number one UFC fighting champ.
Okay.
But he was in a very, very terrible country, and he had to escape multiple very, very devastating obstacles. But his faith brought him from a broken country to a great country where he became one of the greatest. So I believe
can you be born. Can you sometimes people are born and they can't have faith? Like, don't you think that there are some people whose brains can't get to that point where they can ever have faith? What if he was just someone who didn't have faith?
But
like, did he choose to have faith?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Faith is a choice. I could choose. But that's the funny part. When people go, how do you believe in a God? I'd be like, the same way that you don't believe in a God. It's the same action.
I'm choosing
the path that I'm walking
mm-hmm.
on. For example, my parents, they came to this country. They didn't have much. My dad had to raise his parents because they were too old. They couldn't speak this language.
Aww.
And he could have sat around and put his hands in his pocket and been like, luck, I wasn't born in this country.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But he put himself, I think my God is so merciful that if you believe, anything is possible. Truly anything is possible. I believe that a girl that's from Connecticut, probably having terrible parents, and she wants to get out, could be a girl who's in your stature.
Do you think Connecticut's in a war zone right now or something? Did you place her in Connecticut? I was like, oh, this is going to be the privileged side of the story. Yeah. And then this poor white girl in Connecticut with parents who were kind of checked
Everyone
out.
Everyone in Connecticut right now is like, oh.
Oh God. Okay, so we're getting way too deep. Let's brighten this up, because I feel like
amazing.
I just talked to you and I was like, fuck. I was talking to Reed about this. I was like, I don't want to be a guy that just hears something now and just throws a cheesy line or a pickup or like a tag. And I'm like, if I hear something, I just want to speak from my heart. And my heart is.
No, this is the kind of podcasting I like to do, to be honest with you.
Awesome.
I'm not into like super jokey shit. Like, I save that for the stage. This shit. Are you guys both Indian?
No, I'm Middle Eastern.
You're what Middle Eastern?
I'm Assyrian.
Assyrian?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Well, we used to have Babylon, but that kind of went away.
Yeah.
God was like, you're done with that.
And I'm
like,
so okay. Where are Assyrians from?
Literally, we're like, we have no country. We're just kind of like roaming around talking about Christ.
Yeah. It was part of Iraq though before, right?
It was like, it was where Iraq used to be.
Okay. And what about you, Davij?
Parents?
No. Yeah. What's your nationality?
Indian.
Indian. Yeah, I mean, not nationality, but like your ethnicity.
Parents are from Mumbai.
Oh, wow. Mumbai. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you guys been here in your family?
25 years, 30 years.
Are you first generation?
I was born in Kansas City.
Oh,
Kansas.
Nice.
You're Missouri?
Yeah.
We're close by.
Cool. From Missouri?
Yeah. St. Louis.
Nice. Hey.
Yeah. I live there now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I moved back during COVID and then I just was like, it's kind of chill here.
Oh, no way.
And I just
we moved to Arizona.
Did you really? Mm. That's where you live?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. You don't need to be here. You can just fly in.
It's Gotham City. It's scary. I don't want her walking around. I'm looking terrified.
It is.
Yeah,
it's scary.
When the sun goes down, I have to come home.
It's no joke.
It's so funny.
Sounds odd, but it's when we're saying
it's true. I was walking this morning. I woke up at 5 I had to do hair and makeup at 6. And so I was like, Jesus. I'm going to go get coffee. So I'm walking down Sunset Boulevard, like in the nice air part of it. And yesterday I did the same thing in my hair and makeup. People go, you walked in the dark 5 in the morning to get coffee? And I was like, yeah, it was fine. And then today I did it and there was a homeless man fighting the air and like in a really huge fight with the air. And like, and I was so scared and I just like waited for him to like patch things up with the guy he was fighting in his mind. But then another homeless guy came along and was like, can I escort you past him? And I'm like, I think we're just going to both die together. Like, I don't think this guy really cares if I'm alone or with someone. But he got me past him. And he was like, he was a black guy. And the guy that was fighting the air was a black guy. And the black guy that helped me was like, yeah, I do this for white girls who are scared of black men. And I go, I want to be clear. It's not because he's black. It's because he's punching the air and looks like he might have some kind of weapon on. Like, it wasn't it was really funny. He was like, it's okay, white girl. I was like, oh. I'll let him have it. Okay. I probably am just a dumb, scared white girl. Yeah. But it was really sweet of him.
That's
thanks,
so
man.
Funny. Punching the air, screaming. It's because he's black, huh?
Yeah.
And then that guy walked me past him, and then he mugged me. That guy. I'm
no,
just kidding.
No, oh, my God.
I'm
just kidding. It was so sweet of him.
No, but that was hot to you, though.
Yeah. It's dangerous.
No, LA is crazy. Like, I mean, even just the other day, I was in Nordstrom's Rack. And, you know, because now there's so many, like, people, there's women, right, who are part of, like, you know, abducting these people, you know, and, like, human trafficking and stuff like that.
And you're worried about getting trafficked. You're that age. That's so, I love.
What do you mean? People are so creepy.
No, you're right. You should be scared. But I am out of trafficking age. Like, if they trafficked me, it would be to, like, clean their house or something. But
please,
like,
they would traffic you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You think I'd be trafficked?
Yes.
Like, for sex?
Yes. Yes, I do.
This is the greatest day of my life. I didn't think I was trafficable anymore, but you
totally
are. You
thought you were a traffic jam? They grab you. They're like, we need more recruiters. You need to go get girls.
Yeah, I'm like the, what's that, Ghislaine Maxwell. I'm like, do you guys want to rape me? And they're like, ew, gross. We want you to go get girls. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm the recruiter. That's a real fear.
No, but people are creepy. Well, like, just first of all, men everywhere are just so creepy. They'll say anything. It doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime. They're just say anything.
Saying, muttering but, weird things under, and then you go, what? And you're like, why am I saying what? Why am I trying
them? And I'm like, I heard you.
Yeah.
Like, you know? But no, but I was in the store and this woman is standing there and she's on the phone, but she was on the phone like this, you know, like this. And I'm down the hall and I was trying to pick and I was like, I'm not in the mood. I told her this. I was like, I'm not in the mood to feel creeped out right now. And so she was literally like,
so she's
on the
filming
phone.
You.
It seemed like it. So then I literally turned towards her like, you're her. Yeah. And I was like, I'm just going to strut right in her direction.
Good for you.
So I just started
walking. What are you
walking.
Putting on a show? They're like, no, she has nice hips.
Yeah.
I'm like, you want to
definitely
me?
Get her.
That is her good side.
A runway aspect.
She got out a ring light.
And she's giving her one of these looks. She's like, like,
it sounds
look
like
at
you
her cheek
want to be traffic.
No, yeah, but I'm
you're
like,
treating the wall.
They're trying
like
to be
catwalk.
Sneaky, right? And like traffic, or they're talking to someone on the phone. No, like if they know that I know, what is she gonna do? So I just started walking right up to her, and I stood really close to her, and she was looking at something, and then I acted like I was looking at something on the shelf, and I was like looking at her phone, and her phone, her screen was just black. I think she was just like. A weird way of talking on the phone.
Right.
I don't know.
But you're like aware.
If you come up close, they could close the screen like that.
Yeah.
But also, here's
so
another. What
creepy.
Would you do if she ran outside and you were like, oh, that was no big deal. And then you're putting your groceries out and you look at a van pull up and it's her driving. She's like, and
it's just, I knew it.
Oh my God.
I knew it.
We knew you recruited.
I can't believe that is a fear that I don't have. Like, I think that men don't understand what it's like to be a woman a lot of times. Like, they don't understand walking alone to your car. Like, we just have a different. We're just we're scared of being raped like all the time. We're you know, and but I just had that for you. Like I'm not scared of being trafficked.
Yeah,
because it's like I'm kind of out of trafficking age. I know that we're all joking. People would fuck me. I know that. Like that's very nice. But no one's like, I'm not gonna be uploaded on Craigslist anytime soon. It's like I know there's MILF porn and stuff that people are into, but that is an interesting young girl fear that I think is a good thing to fear because it's real and it's out there. But it's like that's a new thing.
It's a new
thing.
It's
real.
And I look young for my like. I'm
yes,
I love
girl.
Crafting and doing stuff. So I'm always at Home Depot and you know, I'm the only girl in Home Depot. When I go to Home Depot, I'm wearing no makeup. So I look like 15.
Right.
And it's just like, but the people at Home Depot are ruthless. People are just ruthless and nasty.
I thought you said ruthless and I'm like, oh, they're building a roof. Like,
that makes a lot of sense.
You've been hearing ruthless a lot. You've always wanted to call it out. So finally.
Oh, bro, you have no idea. I'm holding myself back. All of my comedy is just like
how did
reviewing
we
her.
No, when we met, we became like quick friends. Like we just,
very
I don't know,
quick.
We just
very
really
quick.
Clicked. Yeah. And we would talk all day long, like on text. We would just like fire back text. It was just like so, like we were just
how
so
long before you slept together?
Damn.
Come on now.
First night.
Come on now.
No. Because I didn't want to be in a relationship. I was just like happy being single. And
technically,
I was like,
it was our first
like,
date.
No, it wasn't.
You said
but
it
you
was.
Knew
no,
each other
wasn't.
For a while before that.
It was our second. But no, but I really did not want to be in a relationship. I was like, I told him, I was like, we can be friends. I think you're so much fun. I love hanging out with you.
I hear that song
but
all
I,
the time.
Do you?
Do
yeah,
not.
When you're 5'9", 5'10", you hear that song every girl.
That's oh, that's interesting.
I just want to be friends. You're not tall enough.
No,
I just want to be friends.
But you were successful at this point. So you're not.
Not
here.
At the level I'm at right now.
Okay.
I was
all right.
Like
how long have you guys been together?
Almost achievable YouTuber. I think that's the worst
I've ever
been.
Okay. Gotcha. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. No, I definitely.
My boyfriend's 5'8¾", and is and has that same like thing of it's a little bit more struggle for him. He has to be a little bit more charming.
I just heard I heard the song over and over again, and this is my thought process, and I hope a single man could hear me out. It's an easy formula to get any female you want. Don't try so hard, and just make them laugh.
Yes.
Easy.
And then exit at a perfect time. Don't be around too much.
Yes.
So like you go in, you make them laugh. And then when we were first, I made sure that she was always thinking about me. So when I was gone, she was thinking about me.
Wait,
so
how did you do that?
By making her laugh and then going back to work. So like she saw, he has his shit together. And then I wasn't like when you're okay. In any human's life, if you have too much of it, you get sick of it.
Yes.
So true. And a lot of guys are like, no, this is what they want. I want attention. No. Everybody wants what they can't have. So if you already have given yourself up all the way, then they're like, oh shit, I already have you. That seems a little desperate. Anybody can have you, and I don't want something that anybody could have. So if you put yourself at a platform where you respect yourself, then they have to respect you, and then you could control it. So like
it was the perfect like pushable. Sure. He was like, please go on a date with me. But it was also I didn't feel like he was begging. You know what I mean? It was just like we're friends. He's like, okay, cool. You want to be friends? So he's like, all right, you'll see. And I'm like, okay.
He was laid back and cool and chill about it. There was not a desperation. But there I really compare it to the Travis Kelce thing with Taylor Swift right now. Because when he did the friendship bracelet thing and tried to give her his number, I was like, ooh, that reeks of desperation. And I was like, actually, it's not. He's just confident and like, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm certain that we're going to be together and I'm confident and I'm dying to take you out.
But that's
I'm
how
not,
he was.
I'm not gonna like. I'm not gonna beg, and I'm gonna sit here. But I'm gonna say that I like you, and I'm just gonna stay in that and not think that it's like. Because I think sometimes guys hear that kind of advice of like play it cool, and they act like they don't like the girl.
Mm-hmm. No, that's terrible.
But you have to establish that you like her, that you value her, but not that you're gonna ruin your life to and disrupt your life.
He always treated me like a queen, but he wasn't desperate. Yes. And it was just the fact that then when we did go on our first date, we clicked so much. We had such a fun time. What am I gonna do?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I told her on our first date, which she was supposed to be not a date because you're like,
it was our first date.
Well, now it is. But whatever.
I was just trying to be whatever, you know?
I put it in her court. So I said, hey, do me a favor when we go out tonight. I go, bring a nice dress so I could take you out in it, and then bring a bag of your cozy clothes. And if you
that
want,
got me.
I go, if you want to spend time with me after our dinner, jump in your cozy clothes, and then we'll just go hang out.
We'll go to the like movies, or we'll go mini golfing. And I was like, you're planning for my outfit change? You're in.
Yeah.
What? That's huge for me.
And it's confidence. It's like you're going to want to stick around. Yeah. We heard it.
also, not to be disrespectful.
That's cute.
Sex is a very big deal.
That's why I asked. It's a very big deal. And people act like it's not, and they do it too quickly. And it's really something that I encourage women to be a little bit more protective of.
Yeah.
Then, because I think a lot of women think that if I sleep with this guy, it will take it to the next level. He'll like me more.
No, you just.
And it really is the opposite. He will actually like you less. And if he's not in love with you, you got to wait till they're like pretty enamored and in, and then you can sleep with them. And then their like of you will not change. Mm-hmm. But if they're still building to a like, and you sleep with them too soon, in their weird brain, in their subconscious, even though they're not thinking about you, there's a little bit of like, this was too easy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's not 100%. A woman of value. And don't feel bad, the girls, if you slept around and you're like, oh my God, you're calling me not a woman of value. Of course not. I've done it too. But if you are someone that makes a guy wait, it establishes value, and men want valuable things. And so it's always best to wait, even though you want to fuck him so bad and you think and he's begging you. So you think like, usually when people beg you for something, please, George, can you give me a Diet Coke, please? You think, if I get it for her, she'll like me more. Mm. And it usually works that way. When people want things and you give it to them, we're trained as kids, like, if someone really wants something, give them a hug or whatever, and they'll like you more. Sex is just the only thing that's the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. As a girl, no matter how much they beg, don't do it for them. And a lot of girls will be like, well, I'm doing it for me. It feels good. Just wait. Just always wait.
I feel like 30 days is like a healthy window. Like from when you meet them, that's like the
best time.
I think
it's till you can trust them. Until you think he's in love with you. I think they have to be like kind of in love with you. I will go out on a limb and also say, I don't even blame guys who change after sex. They obviously, think of how many times you guys have been so into a girl and you think after sex, I will still like her. And for whatever reason, you just don't. You can't help it, and it goes away. It's not like it's your. I'm not gonna lie.
I've never done that.
You've never slept with a girl and been like, I kind of don't like her as much now.
So when I was
come on.
So when I was I lost my virginity at 19 because I was dating this girl named Carmen, and she cheated on me with my best friend. So I got mad and I slept with another girl. Okay. Don't even remember what that girl looks like. And then when I got into having sex, I just remember because I wanted to wait till marriage. And I always knew that sex is a little bit more than just what everybody else made it out to be. And what I try to do is and this sounds fucking terrible, but I every girl that I ever encountered, I wanted to make sure I counted them like, my daughter's going to fuck around. I wish she's with a man that at least cares about her.
Yeah.
And so I would always tell the girls, because it was around my success, right? So I started naturally understanding these really hot girls started liking me when I was a little bit more successful. I'm not going to take that and be like, fuck them. They only wanted me because of this. I didn't take that approach. I was like, okay, at least I have control now. So when I had control, I said, hey, just to let you know, I am fooling around with other women right now because I'm focused on my work, but I'd love to have fun with you and just like take you out. So I always treated them like they were my girlfriend. I took them out. I bought them flowers. I had sex with them. But that way there was no guilty feeling. And also if I was with another girl while I saw that other girl,
they knew they weren't the one in your life. So you weren't, this is the difference between an F-boy and a nice guy, bringing it around to my show F-boy Island, which Divij was on. It's on the third season now. He was an F-boy. F-boys this is a loose term, but like that's not an F boy. We would probably, if you came on our show, we'd probably make you an F boy because that guy that you were at that time, because you were sleeping with a lot of women, dating a lot of women, so equals F boy. But no. I would classify you as a nice guy because you're being honest about it. You're not misleading those women. An F boy is a guy that leads women on to believe that you can be my girlfriend when they know damn well that they are not going to be, this girl is not going to be their girlfriend. And I think that is what makes someone an F boy. But like you just dating around being honest, how though did these women not become attached to you, sleeping with you and getting flowers and going on dates and go, hey, George, I want more?
Yeah.
When that did happen, how do you handle that? Listen, I told you what I told you. I can't be the only one for you.
I'll just be respectful. So when I first met you and we were starting to get a little serious, I knew that this might be potentially the children, like my children's mother. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to approach it differently than I did with every other girl. Yeah. So I immediately ended it with other girls to like put class on her. So that way my daughter could follow in her footsteps of what's, she should be doing.
This daughter.
And not yet, but
really holding a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course you have to plan your future. So,
that's incredible.
But when I was in my fuck boy, it was actually, ironically enough, even better for me because they were so casual with me. They would bring their friends around and their friends wanted to get involved. So it was like it actually opened up a door for more women. And they were never like, girls like the fact that they can't put a straddle on you and just be like, oh, that's it, that he's mine. And they can't fathom the fact that like you're feeling, you're like, oh, I want a guy that could go everywhere.
Yep.
A lot of girls feel this
way. That's why on our show, the girls always end up going for the F boys because they want the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're being honest about the challenge. I mean, most of the guys on the show are like, yeah, I'm an F boy. And at one point in the show, they all reveal that they are one. And it doesn't change the way the girls feel about them. It makes the girls like them more.
You know, it's so
very interesting.
I would sit there and like, because again, I had a very stupid past when I was not appropriate man. I would sleep with women that had boyfriends, and their boyfriends would cheat on them, and they would get back at them by sleeping with me.
Sure.
I'll beep out their names, but there was actually, I'm not even gonna mention it, but there's a lot of people that we know in the industry that their girlfriends were acting up. And I would, dude, it's so funny. Like, there would be nights where the girl would come over and I think I'm gonna sleep with her, but I end up like just coaching her in life and she would go back and like fix her relationship.
Yes!
And I was just like, damn, I didn't fuck her up, but I fucked her mind up. Like, you know, like, damn. It was just like, I dealt with everything with integrity. So that way I could go to bed knowing I am a man of my word.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like if you're, there's a man that we all know in this industry that cheats on his wife all the time, right? He would borrow my neighbor's house to go bring girls. And that man I would never do business with. I don't want to break bread with. And I have no respect for this man. If Sean O'Malley, for example, right?
Does his wife know?
I don't know. That's
because
the part
then what if she did? Because
so Sean O'Malley, for example, he has an open relationship. I respect him.
Okay.
Because he's a man enough to be like, hey, I love the girl that I'm with. I love my daughter. And this is a problem that I'm dealing with. But the thing is, he put his heart on the table. I could respect a man who's honest.
Yes. Mm.
But a man who lies to the woman he's building a home with and building a foundation with, that's your love. That's who you're sharing your covenant with. And you're doing that to her. Mm-hmm. The fuck are you going to do to me if we go into business?
I think that's such a good point.
So I don't mess with people that that cheat, or if I find out that they cheat or lie, your word is everything to me.
Oh, dude, it's like lying. I don't lie. I try never to lie in my life, and because I read this book about lying and how even like if you know you are at dinner with a friend, and I go, oh my god, George, this is so fun. I don't want to go to this thing I have to go to. Can you just hold on one second? Like, let me just call and be like, hey, I'm really feeling sick tonight. Like, I can't make it. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. Okay. And then I hang up. You've just seen me lie very easily. Mm. So whether you think it or not, something in your subconscious is going to be like, I'm not going to really trust her that much. Even though she just lied to hang out with me more, and it seems like I'm the one she's being honest with. How easy was that? So I really try not to do even that little shit anymore. Like, if I can't go do something, I don't say I'm sick. I don't say I'm in traffic. I just say I can't make it today.
Because the truth always comes out, man.
It might be because I don't like the person. I don't feel like doing it, but I can't do it is the truth. Mm-hmm. I can't. I'm writing you. Yeah. And you don't need to say a why. People offer why all the time because they think they need to give something to bail on someone. It's enough that you just can't, whether you're depressed, whether you're anxious, where you're just like not in the mood. Just say you can't. Don't lie.
You ask him, bro. I'm too brutally honest. So he has to filter my thoughts to the brands or like relationship that we have. Cause I'm like, you know, it's so funny. You literally just mentioned this before we jumped on the podcast. He says that my strong suit is that I'm brutally honest, but I give it in a loving way.
Yeah.
And so I that's the best compliment I could ever get.
It's not judgmental because you're not... You're honest with someone, like when in the times that you've been honest with me on this podcast and said some things that might come off as like harsh of like you don't value yourself, whatever it is.
Because I care.
Yeah, it's non-judgmental. You're someone that I instantly like, and so, like as soon as I met, I mean, Davij, I've known, but like I think that's what is approachable about you and what makes that easier to handle is that you might be calling me on some shit that's not good, but you don't like me less because of it, no, and you see that you don't judge it. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing. People can be honest just as long as you're not like, you are fucked up. You can say, Nikki, you're fucked up. But it's not like I think you think I'm a bad person. I don't get that vibe from you when you say I'm
I appreciate you saying that. And this might sound cheesy and it might sound like it's written, but it's truly how I go about life. One day I'm going to be presented in front of a great God that I have no business being in his presence. But because of his grace and mercy, he's like, you know what? Even though you've messed up so many times, come into this house and celebrate with me. And so when I look at people like you, you're my sister in my life. I feel like you're my sister. I know that you're going to go through the same type of warfare mentally that I went through. So what kind of man would I be if I know that you're going to probably go through this and condemn you for it? That doesn't like if you go to a doctor because you're sick, how hard is that going to be when you're like, doctor, I'm sick because, you know, I slept around. And he's like, oh, you slept around? You slept. And now you're like, you don't even want to talk. But if you're like, hey, you know, I slept to this. He's like, hey, no worries. Like, this is what we need to handle. And this is that.
Yes.
Now you feel safe and you want instructions to get out of the hole that you're in. And you can't do that with hatred and judgment.
I think that's the best way to be is someone that can call people on their stuff, but is just non-judgmental and empathetic and realize like you're not perfect. So why should you like just this, the look that we give people of like, why would they do that? Like I'm doing Tom Sandoval's podcast later today. He's the guy that like cheated on Vanderpump Rules. Do you know that whole scandal that was this year? It was like the biggest.
Wait, hold on. There was a girl that was thinking about from Vanderpump, right? And it was about the scandal.
Yeah. Lisa? Rachel, he cheated on Ariana with Rachel and it was like the biggest news. Like I don't know how you guys didn't hear about it, but it's totally fine.
So what is
I heard that there was a yes. scandal, but I don't know what the scandal
I agree because I didn't watch Vanderpump Rules, just, so yeah. I just looked into it. Yes. But he's doing a podcast now, and he's really the most hated person in.
Could
in
you
show
give
business.
Us a backstory on like this?
I really don't understand it. So he is on the show, and he's been on the show for 9 years, like, and he's or maybe he's been dating this girl for 9 years, and she's on the show with him, and they're like the couple on the show, and then married. It comes up they got married.
They were married.
No, I don't think they were married. No. They were living together, but they've been together for like 9 years.
Oh,
and he
damn.
Cheated on her with her best friend. And that girl is also on the show. Maybe not her best friend, but a good friend.
Did he cheat on her on the show?
Like when you go back and look at old episodes, you can kind of go.
And did he think that this wasn't going to come out?
Yeah, he never thought it would come out. And it did. Mm-hmm. And he's like the most hated person. And I got asked to do his podcast and my publicists are like, do you really want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, because people like, should he, the way that he was attacked in the media, I was like, are people trying to get him to kill himself? Like, is that what you want? You want this person to never, ever be able to work again, function again? Like he made a mistake. This is a horrible thing he did. He's apologetic. Everyone's just like, you're just apologizing because you went your career back. It's like, could he also be sorry too? Like maybe he is sorry. Like, and I think that a lot of my friends are like, why are you going on that podcast? He's such a piece of shit. And it's like, I don't know, because he cheated, but I don't have the judgment on top of that. And I do for some people for some things, but I think that I'm going into it with that of like, I don't know. I don't know what was going on in his life when this happened.
Is he with that female still?
I know. I think they broke up.
Okay.
So, but yeah, he's like, but I think people really like to cancel people and
people judge people
and go, I would never do that. People in the comments, I would never cheat. It's like, you're the product of your dad cheated on your mom. Like you, yeah. People cheat all around. Like, and I'm not saying it's okay just because a lot of people do it, but I just think that people really want to condemn people to build themselves up, and and being judgmental is just like so in now, especially with social media and being able to comment anonymously is it's something that you guys have never not known, but there's a time.
No. I had that.
Before.
I had that.
People just...
But I got shit talked in my face, bro. Like, that's why when people... Like, I don't get it. Like, I was hated before internet hate. Like, got hated. I got... My principal told my mom, like, he needs to leave. Like, he can't be here. Like, people would meet me in the bathroom just to fuck me up. Like, they hated me, bro. They made videos about me. They spit on me.
Really? What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me tell you something. I take the comments over the fucking actual ass beating any day, bro. Like,
sure.
Bro, like, these people are like, oh, they said something mean. It's like, bro, like, you, their icon is Stitch. And they're misspelling what they're saying to you. Like,
I know.
You get what I'm saying? Like, so, like, the word, like, I get if it comes at a mass amount, then you're like, whoa, that's a lot of people saying that shit.
Yeah, anyone's gonna get in their head.
Yeah, right? Anybody can get in their head, but it's like, when they're like, you don't understand, back in the day, no. Back in the day, way worse. If people did not like, think about, our aspect. If people didn't like us 20 years ago on stage, they not only boo us, but they would throw shit on stage.
What? No, you're crazy. People used to be on TV and have no feed. No one was receiving constant hate or people weighing
have
in.
Have you
like,
watched Def Jam?
Okay, maybe, but I'm not going up at the Apollo. There were not like people weighing in on celebrities constantly and commenting about them and having opinions about them. It just didn't happen. There was tabloids and you would might read it in the magazines and maybe talk about it at the hair salon, but there wasn't constant. You log on now and it's just constant streaming of like any post you look at. If you don't know how to feel about it, there's a comment right underneath it to get you started. And don't tell me that you don't read comments and it definitely peppers how you feel about the thing because I'm susceptible to it.
So I have this text thread with me and my friend Kaveh and he just sends and he says, read comments. TikTok videos and comment sections.
Dude, I would never look at that shit.
Are the funniest shit.
Really? I hear that's where it's worse.
I would always tell you that because every time I watch a TikTok, I have to look at the comments.
You do,
section.
And
it's funny. So people funny. Say funny shit,
but
in
it
the
does sometimes. Doesn't it help you sometimes if you like something? I'll be like, this is kind of funny, and then someone will point out something really lame about it, and I'm like, fucking. And it will.
Suits. They did that for Suits,
it
bro.
It will teach you how to hate things. So sometimes I will like something so earnestly, and then I read a comment, and I'm like, oh, this does suck. Oh my god, this is cringe.
I know. And then I feel bad.
Or so. I wish there was. I just wish there were less comments so that we could make our own opinions, or at least you had to like go to a message board to talk about comments. It wasn't just under the video right away. And I can't even. I don't read comments about myself. I will never read a comment on any video that is posted on YouTube or anything. I can't even go to a video of me on YouTube to see how many views or something because the first comment will just be waiting for me. Now they just put it right.
Yeah, that's a preview.
I hate that. Just, I want people to be able to have to like find comments, not to like, it's just, this is how you should feel about it. This person that said a funny thing about your face or like your shirt that you're wearing and ruins the whole video for everyone. Cause I know that I watch videos and I'm so often influenced by comments.
I get,
but I do love, but you're right. The comments are I always read them. You've had this so many times, like we won't go through it, but so many times in this podcast, you've had to cut out things. It's a joke. And I think that's what this, like, there's so many people that are so sensitive. he said black. And it's like, yeah, for the joke, it's just a fucking, everyone gets so sensitive. And I get it because people don't have identities and they need to identify by what offends them. You know, like,
I don't walk by. Hey, we all just went, and she was looking about to mow past that.
Let's sit in it. Let's pray on it. Let's sit in this Burger King
you
for
lost
a second.
Me. I was just there, and I'm taking a detour, bro. Okay, wait, hold on. Let's run that by, like one more time. Hit that
people
line.
People don't have identities. We lack culture, especially, I'm sorry, white people. We don't have culture. We don't have family. We don't have, we're kind of ashamed of even the stuff, our lineage a lot of times has so much shame in it. So we can't be like, this is who I am. That's why I'm like, I'm a Swiftie. It's like, I can be something, you know? And a lot of times the things that drop the most emotion in us aren't the things that we love. It's the things that we hate or the things that like, you know, my cousin died in a car accident. That's the biggest thing in my life that I can look at and get people's attention when I bring that up. Mm-hmm. So if I hear a joke about a car accident, suddenly this is where my identity comes in. I have been victimized by a car accident. It's not funny that you brought one up. And it's like, I totally get that. I do think you're being a little performative, but also you are in mourning over your cousin's loss or whatever happened to you. But, the joke I'm making is not making fun of the person in the car accident. It's acknowledging that there's car accidents.
Dude.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I say the word rape on stage and you've been raped and that's triggering to you. I honestly believe that could be really triggering to someone who has been a rape victim just to hear that word. And I'm sorry I used it even in this if you're suffering out there. But that doesn't mean I can't say the word because it's a thing that although I have not had happen to me, I fear it all the time. So I'm just not going to ever talk about it. Then we just don't say the R word. What if I am R'd? I have to go, I was R'd. Sorry, did that offend anyone at this clinic? Like, you have to talk, you have to be able to speak of things. And if it does offend people, at my shows, I always say, if I offended you to the point that you had to leave, that you were so triggered, that you had a
somatic response where you were like hyperventilating and had to leave, I will refund your money. I'm so sorry that happened to you. I would never, ever, if I knew you were going to be here tonight, I would have cut that joke, but I didn't. And I'm sorry. And I'm not going to cut it next time unless you tell me you're coming. You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't want to offend you, but I can't walk around tiptoeing around people's things they're offended by. Get a hobby.
You've done like quite a few of the roasts, right? Where you go up and you roast. Mm. Hilarious, by
the way.
Thank
you, girl.
Has there ever been, because I mean, obviously everybody who's sitting on stage, they know that, whatever, you guys. Okay.
Sorry.
It happens to me sometimes. I'm foreign.
Where are you from?
I'm from France.
Awesome. Oh, really? Oh my God. You can't tell at all.
Thank you.
You're so nice.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You really are. You're French. Oh my God.
French people are assholes.
They're so cool. There's no one like the French.
I'm
They're
sorry.
Just like, I'm so intimidated by you now. Okay, go on. What's your question?
Start over, because I was an asshole. My bad. Go ahead.
Okay.
Can you ask it in
You've
French?
You've done a lot of roasts.
Yeah, ask
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Sorry. You're not like our little puppet. Come on, be French. Okay.
Look, I'm wearing stripes. Okay.
Yeah, you are.
But you've done a lot of roasts, right? And then the people who are sitting on stage.
Set up the question.
You want me to restart?
Yeah, because we're cutting all around that.
No, that was good. All that was fun.
Okay,
she's French. I'm intimidated.
Are you offended?
I had the funny joke about her being rude, but she's nice, so she didn't. Whatever. Cut this.
So, right?
Yeah.
The people who are on stage, they know they're there to be roasted, right?
Yes.
They know it's coming.
Yes.
But have there been some people afterwards where like they kind of hold that grudge with you with whatever you might have said on stage?
I wish I could say yes because it makes a more interesting question, but no, like everyone's truly pretty cool about it. I think there was one roast where the roast of Ann Coulter, who's a horrible person. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't really, she can't help it that she's mean and, you know, racist, but she, she left shortly after the roast was over. Like it ended and we were all supposed to take pictures together. There's an after party and she was out of there right away because she kind of bombed too. And I think she just wanted to leave.
Okay.
But generally everyone's kind of, that's what makes it so fun is because everyone's signed up for it and everyone knows what they're in for. And there have been times where I've written jokes leading up to it and I get to the show and they're like, you can't do those jokes. Like Caitlyn Jenner does not want any jokes about the car accident she was in or what, you know, and I'm like, that's my opener. Like, there are times where it's like I've had
that's
to make
my
it really was. Dude. I've been devastated by the cuts.
Why does Caitlyn have so much power on what they could say?
Because that was a big name for that roast to get, and it's not as the goal of the roast to like offend people so deeply they want to walk off the stage.
Yeah.
So the car accident that she was involved in, a woman died, and I think out of respect for that woman's family, and out of respect for like just, I mean. It's probably a really traumatic thing that happened to her. And it's like, okay, I'm here. You can make fun of me transitioning to being a woman. You can make fun of my family. That's insane. Just one thing's off limits. And I think that's okay.
That's cool. That's
but
okay.
They didn't tell me to last second. And that was what was annoying.
Right,
is that
right.
Comedy Central was scared to ask her if those jokes would be okay. And I was like, can I ask her? And they're like, no, we don't want you to talk to her. And I'm like, well, I need to know if this is going to make her walk off the stage in the middle of the show. I don't want that to happen. This is like a fun event. So right before was like, hey, and she was like, She had heard some comedian was going around town practicing jokes and that had mentioned, she was like, if there is a mention of the car accident on stage, I will walk off stage. So with that, I was like, okay, then yeah. I mean, we all have things that are, you know, I wasn't big enough at the time. I'm still not big enough to be like, if this is said about me, and I don't have anything like that in my life that's that traumatic. I think if I probably accidentally killed someone with my car, I'd probably be like, hey, can you not bring it up on this night where I'm like supposed
Seems
to be
like a
entertaining.
Reasonable request.
Right. Yeah.
It really isn't too much.
Can
we
I
don't
hear
like
your
to
joke
think about
that you were gonna say?
Yeah,
that?
I was gonna say that Caitlyn Jenner, what a beautiful woman you killed with your car.
Oh my God.
So
was that the
it was
one that
my
you were
opener.
Say?
There was also another one of like, I know you don't get you're too old to get your period, yet you still have blood on your hands or something like that.
Oh,
I mean, it was like, God. It was brutal.
Jesus.
It wasn't nice.
You know what you're really good at?
Dude, good job.
Thank you.
And do you want me to keep that in or do you want me to
no,
beat
I
that?
No, I like it. yeah, it's fine.
I needed people to hear it.
I wrote it.
I fuck with you because you're a dog for that one.
And what I'll say is like, I don't feel like, I'm proud of like, it's a funny joke, but it's like, it's not funny to joke about a woman's tragic death. But at the same time, if I die tragically, please someone make jokes about it because it's true. It happened. Yeah. Let's not like never talk about me again if I die tragically. Like, I think that's so weird when we don't talk about taboo subjects because then they just, we can't, let's not mention that person because they died tragically. And then it's like, okay, well then they just don't get mentioned anymore. It's like, let's just talk about what's going on. I don't know. It's like, I think I'd rather be made fun of posthumously than like not talked about at all. Right. So if Kanye, I die tragically, please in the comments, sound off.
You have some fucking... you have that like Kanye, he goes, I'd rather have them talk. I'm actually more scared if they're not talking about me at all. It's like a line in a song, right?
Well, I don't want that. Please don't. Only when I'm dead can you mouth off because I'm dead and like you can't hurt me anymore.
Fair enough.
But what don't say anything
What do you think you're going to be remembered for? Not that you're going to die.
Probably the roast, I think. But I hope something else. I hope I just want to be remembered for, I want people to say that I was kind. I think that when I think back on it, like the thing that's on my grave is like, she was, whenever it gets back to me, when people go, I know someone who worked with you and did your makeup 5 years ago, I'm always like, and they always are like, and you were so nice to her when you didn't need to, because you know, like celebrities or people that get a little bit, not that I'm like that famous or anything, they can just be so mean to people. And so I always love when I hear back about myself. You ever hear something back about yourself and you're like, oh, that was pretty funny that day. Or like you hear a joke and you're like, okay, I'm actually cool. I like hearing when I've been nice to people. And
Adam
I
Sandler
think,
effect.
Yes. That's that's what I'd like to be remembered for, is that I spread joy, not even with comedy, but just like made people feel appreciated and wasn't a dick. Nikki like Glaser, she wasn't a dick. That's funny. Yeah. That's what I want on my grave.
She was.
You are what you eat.
No, but what I was going to say too is you're so good at your punchlines. Like when you were saying like the Caitlyn joke, you're so good at, you say something, you think you know where it's going, and then you bring it back really
Those
quickly.
Those are my favorite kind of jokes.
You're just so good at that.
Thank
and it's
you.
Just, it comes after one after another.
Thanks, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we sign off on this unbelievable podcast.
I love you guys.
I really appreciate it.
This is what I love about a podcast, is where you can become like friends with people. It really is a conversation where it's like, we're just friends sitting around talking. It happens to be recorded, but this is kind of feels like what we would do if we all just like went on a friend date.
100%.
Yeah? Okay, good.
And two things.
I'll be back to you.
First thing, you remind me so much, I'm sure you get this a lot, of Kristen Bell.
Oh my God,
do you
really?
Get that?
No.
Who's Kristen Bell?
Is that the girl from Vampire Diaries?
No, she's from The Good Place.
Yeah.
She's married to Dax Shepard.
Oh,
come on. You don't ever get
House
that.
House of Cards, right? She was on House of Cards?
Dude, you kind of, you look like her and you talk like sometimes.
Thank you.
You say certain things so much like her.
Oh my God, thanks. Mm-hmm.
You know who you remind me of? Taylor Swift.
Shut up.
That was so basic, Divage.
So my one question.
Yes.
So we could like parlay out of here because I know you're going to Vanderpump Rules. there's a female at the age of 25 to maybe 30.
Okay.
They suffer from a mental illness that they're just starting to understand that they actually have.
Okay.
They have a lot of faith in their career path. What are the tools that you used to help fix the mindset that you have? Like, for example, the talking in the chair, or seeing a therapist. What were steps that you were very proud that you made that helped you be in the place that you are today?
That's a really good question. I think really letting yourself off the hook, feeling sorry for yourself when people don't want to give you that. I think letting yourself feel your feelings. When I think, like, if you're I'm a really depressed person, and sometimes I can be like, oh, are you sad? Like, yeah, I'm sad. Like, let yourself feel your feelings, because whatever you're struggling with, it's probably some feelings that are backed up that you didn't get to address as a kid. And I think ask for help, talk about it. And journaling, I think, is so important that people don't look at that. And like, you just need to talk to someone about your feelings. I think so many people just don't, being more honest with yourself. And, I think like finding a God, finding a higher power, finding something that where you don't feel like you're controlling everything, because when you are in control, you're always going to disappoint yourself, because you're going to ultimately like fail and you're going to feel like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And it's like, if you put it, I like to blame God sometimes, like not, you know, like as much as that's probably
sometimes
not the way.
Sometimes you don't like to hold the weight of the world by yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes I can go, well, this is God's fault, meaning this is God's plan for me or whatever. But if I want to get the fault off of myself, I can say like, well, I didn't choose to feel this way today, or I didn't choose to say that dumb thing I said last night that I can't stop. Why would I say that? It's like, I'm always trying my best. Maybe just cut myself some slack, you know, like. Be nicer to yourself. And I think a really important thing is to keep close a picture of yourself, or even like if you're, I keep a picture of my boyfriend as a child in my phone to remind me when I'm upset with him. Like, he's just this little boy that's just trying to like make it in the world. And we're all just that little kid. So like find the age where maybe something fucked up happened to you or where you think you're maybe stuck, and just have a little empathy for yourself as like a kid.
I love that.
Like just be nice
to yourself. Show
yourself
grace.
Yeah.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Yeah.
Practice loving yourself, because if you cannot love yourself and hold the standard of what other people should be treating you, you're going to get lost in this world. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you so much, Nikki, for tuning in and being a part of it.
I'm so happy to be here.
I would love to run one back with you in the future as well.
I had a great time with you. Oh my God. I had one too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'll see you guys next time.
Bye. Peace.